Let's go to Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. I'm going to say a couple of comments about our anniversary. I'm going to bring a message tonight that I hope will strengthen the church and help the church to keep going the direction we've always gone and just stay true to the Bible. Hey, that little song right there, folks, that's a pretty good formula to live your life right there. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's a good little formula right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you found it, look if you will in verse number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 verse 9. The Bible says this. Two, think about what we're reading. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Then this little phrase here, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we take a look at the Bible. We're reminded tonight, Lord, about some basics, just some things that we've got to stand on, we've got to stay true to. Lord, thank you for the history of this church. Lord, we rejoice, and we spent last year, of course, a whole year just kind of looking back and rejoicing and praising you and thanking you, and we're mindful of it. Lord, we're not just, Lord, backward focused. Lord, we want to be looking ahead. We're excited about what you're going to continue to do. So bless the church, Lord. May this message help us as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. After Sammy's graduation, our kindergarten's graduation, I was out in the fellowship hall. And we were, of course, attending the reception afterwards and going over and around making a big deal with all the kindergarten graduates. Man alive, you talk about a good group. And then got to spend some time with Sammy and her family and take a few pictures and drink a little punch and eat a few snacks and fellowship a little bit. And I got to talking to Elias, a riser that was out there. And he just finished his first year of Bible college. And we were talking about different things and some of the things he'd been learning. He was excited to be able to be back home for the summer, and he said he's planning on going back next year and just continue to prepare for whatever God has for him. And I said, man, the church is going well. What an exciting summer to be home. They are getting ready to break ground, folks, as soon as they get the plans approved from the state, which should happen. Probably they'll get them this week, and then they're going to start breaking ground and building the church there at the White River Baptist Church on their new property. So you pray for them. They've got an exciting, very busy year ahead of them. And so I asked him as far as his perspective, you know, how's it been going down there? And then I asked him, how old were you when your dad started the church? And he told me I was 11 years old. And I looked at him and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I said, you know, I was 11 years old when Dad started Blessed Hope, when God led Dad to start Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I said, it started in May, I was 11. In August, I turned 12, but I was 11 years old. And so we got to talking about that. And here he was from 11. Now he's, you know, finished his first year of Bible college, probably around 19 years of age or something like that. And the experience of that and to be able to get to be a part of all of that. And I got to thinking back because of the upcoming anniversary, how blessed we are here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And, you know, I haven't been here during the entire history of the church. There's a handful of people sitting in here that's been here attending faithfully, regularly for 51 years of our church. I became a prodigal for a while and went off to Bible college and into Brazil, Indiana. Finally wandered back home and found my way back to this place. But, you know, it's a blessing to watch what God's done. And so most of you, many of you, are the same boat that I'm in as far as you haven't been here the entire time. And I hope what time you have been, it's been a real blessing. Folks, I'm just kind of looking, and the reason I keep staring is I'm not looking for somebody. I'm just overwhelmed. This is a wonderful Sunday night crowd. I hope that you just take a minute, look around a little bit. We are blessed here. And God is doing some wonderful things at this church. And I'm mindful of the history. Young people, a couple things for you. We spent last year kind of looking backwards and all of that. And I would say this to the young couples. I'd say this to our teenagers. I say this even to the children. You know, always have a heart of thankfulness for the people that have gone before you. I think we've kind of lost that in America as far as a thankfulness towards our founding fathers and those people that paid the price so that we could have what we enjoy today. You know, people burning the flag and desecrating George Washington's statue and some of the things that we're watching on TV, folks, we used to just see going on over in the Middle East somewhere, a bunch of crazy people tearing up their own country. Well, now they're over here tearing up our country. And I don't know about you, and I just caught a little bit of the story, but they were getting ready to take that one big American flag, and a bunch of rednecks looked out their window and said, "Ain't gonna happen." And did you see the picture of those young men that were holding up the flag and refusing to let it touch the ground? And people screaming and swearing at them and throwing things at them and cussing them, and they're holding up our flag. And I think, what has happened to our country? What has happened to our country? Thank God that there's still a handful of young men that understand what that flag means and understand the price that was paid. And you know what? If you don't like this country, get on a plane and go somewhere else. Hey, you know, I'll collect the money. I'll get you a one-way ticket. Of course, you know, 2 weeks later, you'd be crossing the border and coming back in, you know, but because of the nonsense that's going on. We need to fix that, by the way. We need to get some of this nonsense fixed. But folks, it's happening in our country. We're raising young people who have no appreciation for those that came before them. I guess they think the world started the day they were born and it's all about them, but it's not. And so that same appreciation we ought to have for our church also. You may not have the memories that I have. You may not have been here at the beginning, but you know, you can take time to read a little bit of the history, and you can talk to some of the older people that were here. And by the way, you better talk to them. Come on, you better talk to them, and you better get some of their remembrances, because you know what? They're starting to pass off the scene more regularly. But I'm thankful for this church. Now I want to get into the message. Watch this. You know, preacher, what's been the secret? I don't know if there's one secret, but what has kept the church straight, and what's kept it good? And we're not a perfect church. Anybody listening online, I don't want them to get the wrong idea. We're not up here celebrating the 51st anniversary of the Perfect Baptist Church of Jasonville, Indiana. We're not a perfect church. We haven't always got it right. We haven't done everything right. And I'm sure that, you know what, there's things we could be doing better today. But I'm thankful for the heritage that God's given us. I mean that. I'm thankful for it. And we work hard. I mean this. We work diligently just to try to make sure that we're staying on the right track, emphasizing the right things. I mean, I carry that. I carry the burden of that. It's in my heart constantly. I'm before the Lord about it on a regular basis because, you know, this is important. What God's done here is important, and we want to keep it right. But I don't know if there's any one secret, but I want to kind of just focus in on one thing tonight that I think will help our church, and that's this. I think one of the things that keeps your life right, keeps your marriage right, keeps your home right, and keeps the church right, is just make sure that you don't forget to do the basics. The basics. They may not be as exciting as some of the peripheral things, but if you just do the basics, and you do the basics right, and you keep the basics right, and don't wander away. You know what? If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And there's some things that are just basic and foundational that we started out believing, that we still believe today. And I pray if the Lord tarries, when some of you are around maybe to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, these things will still be rock solid at the church here. Look, if you will, at that last little phrase we read. The Bible says there that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I cut a little piece of rope. You know, honestly, it's getting harder and harder just to find old-fashioned rope. Seems like everything's gone to nylon. And if you've ever seen a piece of rope, old-fashioned rope like this, a lot of times what you'll see is something like this on the end of it, where somebody is either, sometimes they'll melt it together, and sometimes they'll take a piece of tape like I did or some other thing to bind it together. And young people, the reason that that's necessary is because even though this looks like a rope, one rope, it's really not just a rope. It is three ropes. And if you take the tape off the end of it and you start unraveling it, that's why we kind of find a way to bind it. You really see that this is what the Bible calls here a threefold cord. And the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, you know what? These even single ones are pretty, thick. But I will tell you this, you could probably tie this. Come on, guys, when you get your four-wheeler stuck or pulling the mower out of the ditch or something like that, you know, you might be able to pull that with one of these, but there's a good chance it's going to snap and it's going to break. But it's really something. It's not just a matter of the fact that there's three of them. What strengthens them is that there's three of them and the way that they're wound together. So literally, when you're pulling on this, they are becoming tighter and stronger and more unified and more bound together to complete one main task. And there is something about the numerology of the Bible. I've watched people go to seed on it, and so I've never gone down that road. But I will tell you this, when it comes to threes in the Bible and sevens in the Bible, there's a lot of times you just got to stop back. Take a step back, look at the Word of God and say, you know what? God divides a lot of things into threes because Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And He divides a lot of things into sevens because that is God's perfect number, represents completeness. And so I want to talk to you about seven strong ropes of the local New Testament church, because I think that there's seven strong ropes that if we keep and we don't mess with and we just stay with it and stay focused on it, you know what? The church will be where it ought to be down the road. I'm going to give them to you quickly because we're a little later tonight because of communion. I promise you I'll get you out in a timely fashion. First of all, folks, never forget that we serve a threefold God. A threefold God. The sacred doctrine of the Trinity needs to be protected here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I know that God is one God. That is stated many times in the Bible. He chooses to reveal Himself to us in three distinct personalities. You've read in the Bible about God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Part of the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, I don't pretend to understand every nuance of the Trinity, but I believe it. I can't maybe explain it as well as I ought to. Maybe this is kind of a good illustration. This is one rope, but it's three separate parts. But you know what? It's one rope, and that's kind of the way God is. And we serve a great God. People that don't believe in the Trinity and the doctrine of the Trinity, and beware, come on, of a group of churches out there that are called Jesus-only churches. Don't get tied up with that stuff. I always have a fun time with them. I just flip over to Mark chapter 1. We would get to the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, if he's calling him his beloved Son, who's speaking? God the Father. And so for those of you that believe in Jesus only, or people that are listening want to defend that doctrine, please explain what happened here at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have the voice of God the Father, the visual presence of God the Son, and also the Spirit descending. The Bible doesn't say that he was a dove. He said he descended like a dove and came upon him. And so we have a visual representation of two of members of the Trinity and the voice of God the Father. Folks, listen to me. If you've got to do, come on, doctrinal calisthenics to try to explain your doctrine, maybe you ought to take a step back, take a breath, look in the mirror and say, maybe I ought to just believe the Bible, amen. And so we ought to never, ever, folks, turn our back on the doctrine of the Trinity. We serve a threefold God. The church should be serving the Father while emulating the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The church should be serving the Father while emulating the Son. Come on, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like Him. through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we keep that in mind, you know what? That'll keep us on the right track. Number two, we've been entrusted with a threefold commission. And I was quoting out of Matthew 28. Let me read the Great Commission to you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, there's three parts of the Great Commission. We've been entrusted with it. The Church of Jesus Christ has been entrusted with the Great Commission. Right. And every single one of us needs to be involved in all three aspects of this. And what is it, preacher? It's evangelism, it's baptism, and it's discipleship. Evangelism, going out and teaching and preaching the gospel, soul winning. Come on, let's not give up on soul winning. Let's go out there. Let's knock out on knock doors. Let's not give up on giving out tracts. Little Micah came to me. Micah Gordon came to me tonight before church, or maybe it was this morning. I get mixed up. And he came to me and said, Pastor, I passed out 12 tracts this week. That's one of our elementary boys. He's still in elementary. Please tell me he's still in elementary. I'm losing track of everybody here. This is getting out of control around here. But he said, I passed out 12 tracts. And I just looked at that and I said, thank God. Thank God that the kids are getting it. Thank God that they think that's a big deal. Thank God that they wanted to come tell the preacher, hey, I passed out 12 tracts. Come on. I don't know about you adults, but you know what? Maybe all of us ought to try to keep up with Micah this week, you know. Maybe every one of us ought to go back and get 12 tracks. Nah, we got to beat Micah. Let's get 13 tracks. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to come back next week and say, I passed out 14 tracks this week, you know. But isn't that a wonderful thing, folks? Is that, what is that? That's evangelism, trying to get the gospel out. But once somebody gets saved, hey, folks, listen to me. If somebody gets saved on your bus route, listen, don't just be satisfied with that. There's another step. And you know what? You need to follow up on Sunday school teachers. Someone gets saved in your class. That's a wonderful thing. Glad that you came and told me about it. But you're not done. Come on, we're not done as a church. And baptism is a very important thing. A person doesn't get saved by being baptized. They don't get saved by being baptized. But you know what? It is the first step of obedience. And I don't know about you, but it's hard to take the second step on a journey if you haven't taken the first step on a journey. And so we ought to teach them the biblical basis of baptism. I have put back in the track rack for your usage on this for our soul winners, Sunday school teachers, bus workers. There's a little track on baptism and does a real good job explaining that. And it's something that has pictures in it. So even if you're dealing with a child, you can break it down and show it to them, and it's back there. And so use that. But once we see them saved and baptized, man alive, amen. But hey, we're not done yet. Then there's this matter of teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What's that? Well, that's, we got to teach them this entire book. We got to start covering the basics of the Christian life. We got to help them when it comes to faithfulness and assurance and all of the things that we, that are foundational. Hey, let's be busy in our church, soul winning, evangelism, come on, baptism, following up on our converts, and discipleship. What are you talking? I'm talking about seven strong ropes, folks, that has served this church well all these years, and we've got to make sure that we stick with them. Now, let's talk about this aspect of the church. The church is then comprised. Okay, it serves a threefold God. It's entrusted with a threefold commission. It's comprised of threefold family units, of a threefold family units. And so what is that? Folks, let's talk about the family for a minute. Well, I used to be able to blow past this point in about 15 seconds and move on. Some of you are hoping I'll do that tonight. But hey, let's not forget the biblical definition of the family. You know, folks, listen to me. Young men, young ladies, you know, when you married, you created a new family unit. There's the leave and cleave principle in the Bible. And you know, God's definition of family is a father, which by the way would be a male. And a mother, who by the way would be a female. And the two of them being joined together and blessed to produce children. And so you have a father and a mother and children. And you know what? Look around our church. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? Folks, let's not ever get to the point where you're making a preacher or a pastor feel uncomfortable by saying, turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Don't ever get to the point where for some reason you hold an ought in your heart against that chapter or those teachings or the man of God that would stand behind the pulpit and teach them. Because you know what? God and what he says about the family is more important than any other voice out there when it comes to the family. Ephesians 5 verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And Ephesians chapter 6 rolls right over and begins to talk about children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Husbands, let's just time of instruction. How about this? Let me give you three L's. How about husbands? Why don't we get back to loving, come on, laboring, and leading our families? It starts with loving, gentlemen. It starts with loving. Matter of fact, the standard is set.
Right.
And the standard that is set is that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So husbands, let's love, let's labor, let's go to work every day. Come on. Let's get men back into the workforce. Let's get men back to work. Come on, men. Stop trying to figure out why it's somebody else's responsibility. Come on. We don't need any Mr. Moms. Okay? Don't get all caught up in this role reversal nonsense that's going on in the society today. You know what, men? It is our job to love. It's our job to labor. And it's our job to lead. And you ought not to apologize to anybody for that. You ought to do that. Wives, how about this? Three S's. Submitting, supporting, and serving. Submitting, supporting, and serving. And again, ladies, don't feel like, let the world make you feel like you're a second-class citizen when it comes to just obeying the Bible. Hey, you know what? A stay-at-home mom, come on. A homemaker, I don't know of a greater position you can have in the world than that. We honored mothers today. And you know what? We need to just keep emphasizing what the Bible teaches when it comes to each person that God has placed in the family unit and the things that he's asked of them. So wives, submit and support and serve. And if anybody wants to learn about that in America today, and they think that that's not alive and well, I would just like to say to anybody that's listening, just come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Again, we're not a perfect church, but I think because my dad, all through the years, taught on the family and wasn't afraid to teach these principles. And we've carried that on. And you know what? We celebrate men and women. Come on. As I said this morning, it isn't just women that are a rare and precious thing. It's virtuous women that are a rare and precious thing. I think we have a church full of virtuous women. And you know what? Just don't apologize for that. And submit to your husbands, support your husbands, serve your family, serve your children, serve in your local assembly. Now, children, let me have your attention. How about this? Listening, learning, and obeying. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Listening, learning, and obeying. That's what God has assigned you to do during those childhood years. And so, you know, kids, the right thing to do is to, first of all, learn this matter of obedience. You need to stop what you're doing and learn to listen to mom and dad when they're talking to you. Okay, they're teaching you things. So when you're doing something, mom and dad get your attention. You know what? You ought to stop everything you're doing and listen to what they're asking you to do. And then you ought to obey. Now, I'm going to credit the Snyders with this. I preached on this recently, and they gave me a little formula that somebody had taught them when they were growing up. And I was talking about the importance of, you know what, it's not obedience if it's not immediate obedience. And it's not obedience if it's partial obedience. And you know what? Sadly, it's not obedience if you've got the wrong spirit in your heart. You're still disobeying even if you're obeying. Amen. Now, parents, let's reset this standard in our homes. How about this? This is what they told me they learned. Obey right away, all the way, in a happy way.
Amen.
All right, come on, I'm going to say it again. Obey right away, all the way, in a happy way.
Right.
I'm afraid you're going to forget it, so let's say it together. Ready? Here we go. Obey right away, all the way, in a happy way. Let's say it again. Obey right away, all the way, in a happy way. And I think that we as Christian parents should not dip the sails on that expectation in our home. And again, I'm tired of parents being attacked because they simply are insisting that their children do these things. I'm tired of it. Listen, moms, don't fight against your husbands on this. Husbands, come on, join alongside your wife and don't fight her on these things. Sometimes you have a mother that's making an excuse for the kids. Sometimes you got a dad that's making an excuse for the kids. Stop making excuses for them. Because if they will learn to obey right away, all the way, in a happy way, they'll carry that on into their teenage years and they'll carry that on into their adulthood, and they're going to have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. And so we're talking about comprised of a threefold family units. Number four, I love this thought right here. The church also is strengthened by threefold generations. By threefold generations. In Titus chapter 2, if you'd like to go over there, I think I'll read this to you and have you look at it, because I haven't taught this in a while, and I think from time to time, you know, preacher preaches so many things, and I've taught so many things over and over that sometimes I think, well, I've covered that so much, but you know what? Every once in a while, time gets away, and I think we need to bear down on this. Brother Jorgensen at Commonwealth Baptist College was asking me about our students. Now, you may or may not understand this, and again, folks, please, you know, I understand the devil's listening, and I don't want pride to enter in on this, but folks, when you simply obey the Bible, and you raise children according to the Bible, and you have a biblical mindset when it comes to the stages of maturation, it does make a difference in the product that you're producing. Okay? Now, what I'm going to teach you right now about this idea of being strengthened by threefold generations, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I do mean, as you look around the church, you know what? We have some senior saints. Come on. We have the white and the gray heads. And I'm about 50-50 on that, all right? But We have them. And you know what? You are an important part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Sometimes people talk about, and you've heard me say, well, you know what? If all you've got is children, or you don't have any children, you don't have a future. Well, if all you got is children and young adults, there's a stabilization factor that is missing in that church.
Right.
So having senior saints, mature saints in the Lord is an important part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It stabilizes the ministry. And then, of course, we have the aged men and women, the Bible talks about, the young men and women and the children. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound means healthy, healthy doctrine. So what we're about to learn is healthy. It's healthy for a family. It's healthy for a church. It's healthy for a society. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Now, aged men, I think, if you're into your, 40s, 50s, 60s, you're kind of into that range, they're older. This isn't kidding what it says right there. You shouldn't be running around acting like a goofball. You shouldn't be acting immature all the time. Listen, older people can have fun. We kid around every once in a while. But wait a minute, what does it say? That we ought to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Well, that doesn't describe me. Well, you can get to the altar and get right with God tonight. You're not the exception to this. And you being that way brings a stability, a stabilizing influence into the church house. The Bible talks about the aged women, likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Doesn't say keepers of the home. It says keepers where? At home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. young men. Likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Now look right up here and let me kind of regain your attention. What are you talking about when you talk about a church strengthened by threefold generations? The Bible gives us three stages of maturation. Well, what is that talking about? It identifies a child or the childhood in the verse number 4, children are mentioned. And then you see that young men and young women are mentioned, young men and young women. Then you see aged men and aged women are mentioned. Okay, now think about that. That means for some span of time, you're a child, and then you become a young man. And then after you've been a young man for a certain amount of time, you become an aged man. Okay, that's just three stages of maturation. Now, look right up here. I can't even tell you how important that is. I can't even tell you how big that is. You know, we've created a couple of other, the world has interjected a couple of other stages that they want us to recognize. They want you to be children, then teenagers, then young men, and then middle-aged, and then aged. Now think about that. You've got teenagers, now all of a sudden we've got this time period where you're just not required to grow up. You know, those of you that have attended Bible colleges, you've showed up there. And so I told Cheryl this the other day, we were talking, and some of the, when we talked to our college students coming back, you know, here we built this up. And, you know, by the time you're a senior, you're kind of tired of all the kids stuff, and you're really tired of all the immaturity, and you're kind of tired of all the nonsense. And your senior year, you're just trying to hang in there, but really you just want to kill everybody, and you just want to graduate and get away from all this immaturity, and then you go to Bible college and you find out that some churches and some parents are not getting the immaturity out of them during their teenage years. You know why? Because they're sitting there making excuses because they're a teenager. They're a teenager. Well, they're just a teenager. What do you mean they're just a teenager? I believe children are a child from the time they're born till 12 years of age. I think that's what the story about Jesus as a 12-year-old was all about. Where all of a sudden he looked at his parents, come on, his biological mother, come on, it wasn't his biological father. He looked at both of them and said, well, wist you not know that I must be about my father's business? And you know, all of a sudden he got a sense of, you know what, I've been created for a reason. And I appreciate, by the way, that wasn't a rebellious, smart aleck comment, young people. That was him hitting a reset button because, you know what? He said, Mary said the wrong thing to Jesus. And she referred to Joseph as his father. And he reminded her, I have a father and I must be about his business. And about 12 years old, there comes into the heart, and you watch him around here. About the time a young person turns 12 years old, a young boy, he don't want to be treated like a kid anymore. God's wired it in him. And so Blessed Hope Baptist Church and our biblical philosophy is, you know what, let kids be kids. Hey, let kids be kids. Okay, that doesn't mean you let them get away from all this stuff, but you know what, let them be children. Okay, they're going to make mistakes. They're not always going to do the right thing, say the right thing. You correct them, you train them, you do all of those things, teach them obedience, but they're kids. I hear sometimes people say, adults say, I never had a childhood. I hurt for them. I mean that, I hurt for them. I'm glad my mom and dad let me have a childhood. By the way, I had chores during those years. I had responsibilities. I still had to do my homework. But you know what? After my chores and my homework was done, you know what we did? We went out and played. We had a good time. Okay? They need those years, okay? But young man, about the time you turn 12 years of age, you're going to notice preacher starts treating you a little different. Mom and dad might start treating you a little bit. Young lady, about the time you turn 12 years old, all of a sudden, mom and your dad and the adults in the church, they start treating you a little bit different. And by the way, they respond to that. They really like that. But you know what? You also have to begin to live up to some expectations. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. And there has to be some things that all of a sudden you start stepping up in your life. You know why? Now, they're getting all the way to 18, 19, 20 years of age, and nobody's expecting maturity out of them yet. What are we doing? That's why we got the nonsense we got going on our campuses right now. You got a bunch of children. Somebody sent me a picture of a little child in the middle of Walmart on his face, laying down, you know, throwing a tantrum. Then they sent a picture beside it of the protesters laying in the middle of the street on their faces. And they said the reason that they're doing that now is they got away with doing that then. Amen. Amen. You can say amen right there. You know what? I don't lay down on my face in Walmart one time. And then, you know, me and my dad would have had a meeting, and I'd have changed my mind that I ever ought to do that again. Hey, why don't we have that kind of parenting today? Okay, you don't need to sit down beside him and say, no, what? Why are you feeling the way you're feeling? They need to have a feeling. All right, I've had some of them feelings. I didn't want to have them feelings anymore. No, this is good. This isn't what you're going to hear on TV. You know, I find sometimes that I'm just going to say it. Some of the moms and some of the Christian moms that are having the hardest time accepting what the Bible says, you hear me getting after those of you watching these daytime programs and Dr. Phil and Ellen DeGeneres, check out the ones that are making excuses for their kids and make them put their hand on the Bible and be, you know, if I'm lying, I'm dying honest. They've been watching that junk. They've been watching that junk. Let's get back to what the Bible says. Now, you know what? It's a wonderful thing. Well, let children be children. We have children's ministry. Kids have a good time. Me and Cheryl, we're in the office and, you know, doing our work. And then recess happens, man. And I'm going to tell you something. The kid, we got, you know, kids. And I want them to be. I want them to come out. They hit the door. They come running over to the building. And they scream. They stood there in line and they're quiet and they're doing what they said. Then finally the monitor says, 1, 2, 3, go. And they run and they scream and they start screaming at the beginning of break. And they never stop screaming for the entire time in break. They're just like running in circles. I was watching out the window at some of our girls the other day and they're just running around chasing each other and screaming and acting like maniacs. You know why? They're kids, man. They're kids. And the teachers are smiling because if they can get the wiggles out there, maybe they can come back in and sit down and you'll get another hour's worth of work out of them. Amen. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I want you to give your kids, come on, parents, give them good childhood memories. But when they get to be a certain age, you know what? Start treating them like a man. Some of you, when you turned 12 and you got into the youth group and you got pastor's birthday card, I've been sending you a birthday card since you were a baby. And every time you opened it up, it had a dollar in it. And, you know, when you were 3, you got a dollar. When you were 4, you got a dollar. 7, you got a dollar. And 8, you got a dollar. And then when you turned 12, you opened it up and there wasn't a dollar. Say, preacher, did you forget? No, that was a signal I was sending you. What is it? Go get a job. You don't get to be on pastor's welfare roll anymore. Go get a stinking job, all right? Amen. Start sending me some dollars, all right? Amen. Hey, parents, listen to me. You know your kids. I get it. There isn't like any of these young men turning 12. It's not like you flip a switch and all, but that's where we begin the process. And we need to keep doing that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because if we don't do it, I'm telling you, folks, I'm not talking about in the public school system. I'm talking about in Christian schools, in independent Baptist churches. We got a bunch of little spoiled Christian school brats. And I'm not going to make this place a comfortable place for those kids. And if you can't get them out of them, I'll get them out of the school. But I'm not going to have a little nest of scorners in our Christian school. You know, because you won't take care of business at home. And then you know what? You become a man and you're that young man and the glory of a young man and his strength. And then you'll get to that point where you get to become an aged man. And it's not so much the strength that's the most important attribute that you have. It's the wisdom that God has given you. And ladies, I'm not going to go through it with the ladies, but it's the same thing with the ladies. You know, and we need one of the things that makes a church strong is that we have those three generations. Okay, and that's just not talking about age. We also have those three generations when it comes to spiritual maturity. Okay, we might have, and we do have, a lot of new converts at our church, folks. Amen. And they're babes in Christ. That's a wonderful thing. Amen. Don't be surprised if they act like children, and don't be overly critical, come on, or hyper-judgmental about it.
Amen.
Some people that are saved later on in life, they're not going to have their act together. They're not, okay? When you first got saved, you didn't know everything either.
Right.
But they're coming, they're excited. You know the best thing you can do? Love them. Make them feel welcome. Take them out to dinner. They're going to be asking you some questions, you know, and answer the questions and help them out and say, listen, you know, God was patient with me. He's being patient with you. Don't expect to get it all at one time. We're just glad you come. We're just glad you're here. That's the best thing you can do with them. Now, number five, let me move on. The church serves a threefold God. It's entrusted with the threefold commission. It's comprised of threefold family units. It's strengthened by threefold generations. Number five, it's composed of threefold groups. It's composed of threefold groups. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, let me have you turn there. You're not far from it. Philippians chapter 1, if you're in Titus there, in verse number 1, this is one of the verses in the Bible where you'll find all parts of the church mentioned in one verse. Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timotheus, Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but let me tell you, a biblical church, there's two biblical offices that is recognized in the local assembly. There's the pastor, or sometimes that extends, bishops is plural here because of the size of the church. Sometimes we're talking about not only the pastor, the main pastor of the church, the senior pastor of the church, but sometimes he'll have a pastoral staff. But you have the bishops, you have the deacons, and you have the saints, amen? The saints, the laity of the church. And you know what, folks, listen to me. When we begin to start creating situations outside of that, then you know what? We're going to start having problems in the church. I just talked to a man. Let me give you a quick illustration. Just talked to a man that was considering taking a church. And he told me, he said, you know, everything checks out with this church. There's one thing I've got a question about. So I called you, Brother Ross. I said, what do you got a question about? He said, well, not only, you know, is there a pastor there? They want me to become senior pastor. And I do have a couple men on staff, but he said they have deacons, but they also have a board of trustees. And I said, uh-oh. And you know what I found out? Okay, get mad at me if you want to. But you know what I found out? A lot of times the trustees are men that weren't qualified to be a deacon, so we created another board for them so that we could, make happy some rich people in the church and put them in some position. But you've created something that's not biblical.
Right.
I mean, Brother Joe, am I wrong? How many preachers out there have been given fits because they don't have just biblical deacons, but they decided they also needed trustees? And listen, let's not get smarter than God. How about this? Let's just keep it simple. Let's just keep it biblical, okay? You got the pastor, you got his staff, you've got the deacons, and then you've got the saints of God. And if we keep that way, I mean, he said not only that, he said, I'm not only dealing with that, but he said, I found out they got 17 committees. And he said, every one of them has a committee leader. And he said, I have to have two, they're having the pastor right now have two meetings a month with the committee leaders of the 17 committees. So now he's trying to keep the leaders of the committees happy and the trustees happy and the deacons. And he's got, wait a minute, is that what the Bible teaches? You know, and I want to say this out loud. You want to ruin a man that's a deacon? Make him the head deacon. Come show me in the Bible where there is the office of head deacon. You want to ruin a good man? I'm talking about a good man. Make him a head deacon. And so, you know, let's not do things that are unbiblical, okay? Let's just keep it biblical. Number six, we fight against a threefold enemy. Now, folks, as long as somebody's in the pulpit warning you about these three things, this church will stay right. But there are three enemies that we have: the devil, the world, and the flesh. The devil, the world, and the flesh. The devil tries to do everything he can, him and his demonic forces, to frustrate the work of God. The world tempts and tantalizes us. always attempting to steal our love from the Father. That's why 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The flesh, come on, folks, our number one problem isn't the devil. Our number one problem isn't the world. Our number one problem is the flesh. You know, and that's why, you know what, if you want to do and find and do the will of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you got to take your little literal body and you got to every morning lay it on the altar. Paul said, I die daily. And you've got to die to self and die to the flesh and let that Holy Spirit inside of you lead you and guide you and control you and help you and let him communicate with your reborn spirit, and then that has an influence on your soul. You know these things. We've taught it so many times, but we fight against a threefold enemy. We've done it for 51 years. Let's not forget who the enemy is. Hey, my dear brothers, listen to me. Your enemy is not another man in this church. Hey, come on, sweet Christian ladies, I love you, but your enemy is not another lady in this church. Okay? The enemy is the devil, the flesh, come on, and the world. Let's make sure we understand who the enemy is. The last thing, you know what? We are equipped with a threefold message. And I think there's three things that we've just got to preach all the time. First of all, the Bible. Let's preach the book, amen. Let's preach the King James Holy Bible, amen. Let's stick with it. Let's preach it. Let's stay with it. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. You know, I'm going to tell you, independent Baptist churches have just taken those three things and waved them like a banner all these years. And you know what? If we'll preach this book and stay true to this book, and that we'll not forget the blood that was shed. Come on. Amen. The blood that was shed. And the price that was paid for the church was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we'll not forget that, then we'll keep our eyes looking upward, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If we'll keep hammering that, come on, not just from this pulpit, but I'm talking about let's keep it in front of our teenagers. Come on, Sunday school teachers, let's keep it in front of our Sunday school classes. Come on, Christian school staff. You know what? I'm glad. Let's teach math. Let's teach English. Let's teach pottery or whatever you're doing out there. I'm kidding. Let's teach all the other subjects, but let's not forget to hold this book up and say, this is the most important textbook, and this is the book that can truly change your life. Well, 51 years, we've been awful blessed. And I think one of the reasons, folks, it's more despite us than because of us. We need to always remember that. God's so merciful and good to us. But you know what? We've always tried to just say, let's keep some of these threefold cords. And let's let those things strengthen our local assembly. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, if we'll just study it and we'll just read it and we'll just preach it and stick true to it, Lord, you'll continue to bless. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the mothers. This has been a special day for them. I want to thank you for our church. This is a special day for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 51 years, dear Lord, that you've blessed us. May 13th, 1973, tomorrow, May 13th, Lord, you gathered a little group of people in the living room of Bob and Anita Swaby's house for the first service of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you've been faithful to us. God, we haven't been always faithful to you, but you've always been faithful to us. Lord, we haven't always got it all right, but Lord, thank you that you never get anything wrong. And thank you that you are willing to work through us as imperfect as we are. But Lord, help us to be very careful to protect the foundations, to make sure, Lord, that we're keeping some things, Lord, that you have promoted in the Bible as being foundational, important, these ancient landmarks. Let's not move them. Lord, continue to bless our church, we pray in Jesus' name.